This is the Final Whistle Podcast from the Wrexham AFC media team. Okay, it's the time for the lowdown again. I'm Mark Griffiths, and it's time to look at Wrexham's next opponent. And ooh, it's Chester. I mean, it's going to be interesting because it's a derby. I think if it wasn't a derby, I think you'd feel Chester might be slowly drifting towards the inevitable. Certainly, it sounds like a lot of people felt last Tuesday's loss to Dover was a breaking point. They're still well off safety, and Barrow got three games in hand on them now. That's the side one spot above the relegation zone. But it's a derby. Surely they're up for it. So you suspect this could be that last push by them to try and keep their hopes alive. Now, the Tuesday's game is the most recent match, obviously, and I'll mention it in passing, but I don't think there's much we can learn from that game because it was against Dover, and games against Dover are freak occurrences. Dover don't play the same as anyone else in the league. They play about man-to-man. They make you do strange things. I'll touch briefly on what happened, but I really don't think there's much we can learn from it. They changed their team, which was unusual, because actually Marcus Bignett's been pretty settled in the side he's been picking. Before that match, he'd only made one change in the last three games outfield, but he did change it around a little bit. He changed the formation. He usually goes 4-2-3-1. He went to 4-4-2. And I think that was a reaction to the fact that Dover go man-to-man, so you can push extra men at the pitch, because they'll just follow you around where you are, so you can take gambles on the pitch. They kept it pretty tight, and they looked all right until they let a set-piece goal in. Well, that's the problem for Chester. You know, they can look okay, but then something will go wrong. It's also the pattern for Dover, isn't it? They just keep it tight and score from set plays. And at that point, Marcus Bignett went really bold. He went to a 3-4-3. Which was very attacking. And Dom Vos in the midfield pair. Yeah, you heard that correctly. But again, against a man-to-man team, that's not such a risk in some ways, because they're going to just follow you about, aren't they? And unfortunately, in this case, didn't work out. The fullbacks, the wing-backs were pushing very, very high. They were both midfielders, essentially. And they got in behind the wing-back and conceded another goal 2 minutes after they changed the formation. And Bignott's reaction to that was to go even more extreme, bring on a winger for a centre back and play a 4-3-3, sort of a 4-3-3, but basically, really, it was two at the back because the two full backs were playing more like wing backs, and they had four strikers on the pitch. It was extremely attacking, and it didn't get them there. But surely, it's inconscionable to imagine that any of those tactics will be used against Wrexham. Surely he'll revert back to what he's more used to, which is a 4-2-3-1. It's a 4-2-3-1 which has quite a lot of attacking potential. They've been playing with Archer up front. He's a decent target man, decent in the air, tries to take it on his chest a lot, not so good off his chest actually, with Ross Hannah working off him, a player we were looking at in the summer, and he's good at timing his runs in behind, so you feel there's promise in that. They've also got Harry White up front, who played up front on Tuesday. He's quite similar to Archer, but maybe a bit better actually getting the ball deep and running at players. And then they've also, of course, got Dom Vos. Now, Dom Vos, having watched his games for Chester, he's exactly what Dom Vos was for Wrexham. Admittedly, he hasn't scored yet, but he does look very threatening. He does exactly the same things. He'll pick the ball out on the left-hand side. He might use the overlap as a decoy to drag someone away, and he'll come in and shoot, but he can use his left foot as well. He can dribble, he can do all those things. In that respect, he doesn't really look to be much of a step down from where he was with us. And then when they lose the ball, it can get very lopsided. He sometimes tracks back, sometimes doesn't. He sometimes tracks back and then stops tracking after a point. Occasionally, he dresses it up as if he's offering himself as an out ball, and he wonders, has Marcus Bignett actually told him to do that? Can't imagine he has. And a couple of times he's sort of reliant on Hannah, who's playing off the striker, getting back into a defensive left-sided position to double up, because often the right back on the opposing side is able to double up and get down the flank because Vos hasn't come back with him. So that's something interesting. And the battle between Kevin Roberts and Dom Vos will be fascinating. Partly because of that, can Roberts get up the pitch unmarked and then Chester going to get stretched? Or, on the other hand, Roberts is a very good defensive fullback. He'll need to be, because Vos will be running at him. That's going to be fascinating. They all season they've lacked pace. In fact, I think the issue for Chester and the reason they're down there right now is bad recruitment in the summer. And I've genuine sympathy for them, because they decided to take a bit of a gamble to push beyond their budget a bit, because they felt they had an opportunity in the basics of something good. And they recruited heavily in the summer. They brought in players who on paper look quite nice, lots of experience, decent quality, brought paid two-year contracts on some of them. The trouble is, I think what they failed to do is bring much energy or pace into that team. And at the start of the season, it was obvious they couldn't push up at the back because their defence was so slow, but that meant they couldn't press. So they became stretched all across the pitch. Marcus Bignett's tried to address that. He's weeded a lot of players out. He's brought quite a lot in. He's tried to adjust that, but ultimately, he's only had partial success, and they're still quite a stretched team. You can't push up with Ryan Astles at the back. I quite like Astles in a lot of ways, but he's not quick. And frankly, Hobson, the on-loan centre-back alongside him, isn't much quicker. When they played three at the back for a spell on Tuesday, it was Andy Halls, and he's not quick. And as a right-back, he's not quick getting up and down either. So they can't push up too much. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the derby, because you naturally in a derby, I think, want to be pushing up, competing in midfield. But if they do that and leave gaps behind their defence, well, Quigley's going to be looking to run in behind all the time. And if they don't do that, they leave gaps between the lines, which a player like, I know he's not been in the squad last couple of games, but a player like Scott Bowden could drop off and enjoy, or a player like Nicky Devedix could exploit as well. So well, as you imagine, looking at the league table, there are structural issues around Chester's side. Quite like the two centre mids. Tom Crawford, a young lad, he looks like a decent prospect. He plays centre mid alongside Gary Robertson. They're both quite energetic and quite tidy on the ball. And you feel they have sort of the makings of something in a way. They're a work in progress, but the problem is, I think they just, bad recruitment in the summer has left them in the state they're in, and the problems off the pitch, led by the outlay in the summer, hasn't really helped. So on paper, you would say this is certainly a game you should look to win. Of course, when it's a derby, all better off.
This is the Final Whistle podcast from the Wrexham AFC media team.